Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 17. I believe we're on text number 12. Is it 12? Okay. So, we'll just read the translation and the purport, since it's prose verse again. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In these eight varshas, or tracts of land, human beings live 10,000 years according to earthly calculations. All the inhabitants are almost like demigods. They have the bodily strength of 10,000 elephants. Indeed, their bodies are as sturdy as thunderbolts. The youthful duration of their lives is very pleasing, and both men and women enjoy sexual union with great pleasure for a long time. After years of sensual pleasure, when a balance of 1 year of life remains, the wife conceives a child. Thus, the standard of pleasure for the residents of these heavenly regions is exactly like that of the human beings who lived during Treta Yuga. Purport. There are four yugas, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dvapara Yuga, and Kali Yuga. During the first yuga, Satya Yuga, people were very pious. Everyone practiced the mystic yoga system for spiritual understanding and realization of God. Because everyone was always absorbed in samadhi, no one was interested in material sense enjoyment. During Treta Yuga, people enjoyed sense pleasure without tribulations. Material miseries began in Dvapara Yuga, but they were not very stringent. Stringent material miseries really began from the advent of Kali Yuga. Another point in this verse is that in all eight of these heavenly varshas, although men and women enjoy sex pleasure, there is no pregnancy. Pregnancy takes place only in lower grade life. For example, animals like dogs and hogs become pregnant twice a year, and each time they beget at least half a dozen offspring. Even lower species of life, such as snakes, give birth to hundreds of young at one time. This verse informs us that in grades of life higher than ours, pregnancy occurs once in a lifetime. People still have sex life, but there is no pregnancy. In the spiritual world, people are not very attracted to sex life due to their exalted devotional attitude. Practically speaking, there is no sex life in the spiritual world. But even if sometimes it does occur, there is no pregnancy at all. On the planet Earth, however, human beings do become pregnant, although the tendency is to avoid having children. In this sinful age of Kali, people have taken to the process of killing the child in the womb. This is the most degraded practice. It can only perpetuate the miserable material conditions of those who perform it. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shlaka Chakshu Umilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Vancha kalpa trubhyascha kripasana bevata paritana pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasri Gaura Bhakta Vrindaki. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So, it's a pretty interesting verse with an even more interesting purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. I was thinking if someone that was a non-devotee that was reading that purport, they probably could become interested in Krishna consciousness. to be able to go to a higher place and enjoy sense gratification, because this particular verse, it is pretty explicit as to what the condition is of the heavenly planets, being that you can have unrestricted sense gratification with no consequences, so to speak. Because the consequence of sex life is, as we can see, pregnancy, having children, which can be quite a burden, a big burden, especially in Kali Yuga. So much financial burden, so much emotional burden, so much stress and anxiety, responsibility. And we see, as Prabhupada puts in a purport, that in Kali Yuga, they realize this, and so they try to even kill their own children by abortion, which is very abominable. But we see that this idea of sex, it expands throughout the universe or universes. And it is the that attachment, it's very difficult to overcome, very, very difficult to become freed from this sex pleasure. We know, as living in Krishna consciousness, that as devotees, we make a sincere endeavor to be a devotee, to execute Krishna consciousness. But we see that the greatest impediment or hurdle or the wall that we have to overcome is desire for sense gratification, explicitly sex life. We see that this is our greatest challenge. And we see that this challenge is not only for us, but it's for even higher living entities. Here in the purport, Prabhupada describes that these higher living entities, they're very much addicted to this sex, and they engage in it unrestrictedly. And only until the last year of their life, they're actually told, I guess somehow they know they're in their last year of life because they become pregnant. The woman becomes pregnant, and that way they know, I have 1 year to live. Is that how I'm understanding this? Yeah. So it's amazing how that happens. You're probably so much engaged in this activity, you lose track of time. And then all of a sudden it hits you, and you're pregnant, or the lady becomes pregnant, and boom, you have 1 year to live. You're finished. Your life is over. Pretty startling. That's why in this earthly planet, it's much more conducive for spiritual life, because here you can get that understanding very quickly, much quicker than on this particular level. But interesting to note that in Prabhupada's purport, it says, in such a yuga, people were very pious. Everyone practiced mystic yoga for spiritual understanding and God realization. So they were not so much interested in this sense gratification. Then there was the Treta Yuga, where everyone was, like in this particular purport, they were enjoying to the utmost level of sense enjoyment. And then we have here Dvapara Yuga, where Srila Prabhupada describes that the tribulations began. They were very, they were there, but they were not very stringent. But Prabhupada says that the material miseries became very stringent in the advent of Kali Yuga. And we see that in the first 5,000 years of this Kali Yuga, when Lord Krishna was present, they didn't experience these things, though. They weren't so much, these miseries were not experienced. If you read the first canto of Bhagavatam, there Arjuna is lamenting when Krishna left that while Krishna was on the planet, everything was so beautiful. The trees, the birds, all living entities were so happy, so much engaged in remembering Krishna, and everything was so pleasurable. But as soon as Krishna left the planet, then again, they experienced all these tribulations. Very, very terrible omens were in the sky. And when Yudhisthira Maharaj and the Pandavas saw these omens in the sky, immediately they left for the Himalayas. They gave everything up and left to renounce this material world. And we can see we're in the middle of this hellish condition of Kali Yuga. In the Bhagavatam, it gives us an idea of who we are, what is our condition. It's described, Praye Napa Yusa Savya Kalavashmin Yuga Janamanda Sumanda Matayamanda Bhagya Upadruta. This is what our condition is. In Kali Yuga, we're all very short-lived. We don't live very long. Although they keep telling us we're going to live to be 100, still very, very few live to be 100, as far as I can see. When someone reaches that platform, there's a big newsworthy platform. They are 100. We see today that that's not there so much. Very few. And so, short-lived. And we see another symptom of Kali Yuga is that we're very quarrelsome all the time. You can see the nature of the living entity. Always some kind of quarrel, either on a family level, community level, state level, country level, international. Just quarrelsome nature is there throughout this material world. Very quarrelsome. This is one of our natures. And we're very lazy. We're very lazy for our development of spiritual life. We see here that in Treta Yuga, Dvapara Yuga, especially Satya Yuga, that wasn't the case. They were so much absorbed in the meditation on the Supreme Lord that they even didn't think about sense gratification. It wasn't even a thought. So we see in Kali Yuga, that's not the case. We're very lazy for advancement in spiritual life. But for sense gratification, no. For sense gratification, we're very interested in going to the utmost speed and utmost austerity and sacrifice to indulge in some type of sense enjoyment, to the point where we even risk our lives in order to engage in sense gratification. Wasn't it Jamunacharya? Was it him that actually went? He was the prostitute, and he crossed a river in the middle of. Oh, Bilva Mangala Thakur, yeah. He used to visit a prostitute. He risked his life crossing a river, going over a wall, seeing snakes, and it was in a dead of night, no light, couldn't see anything. He could have just fell off somewhere and killed, died. But still, he risked everything and simply to have some sense and gratification. So, this is the nature of us in Kali Yuga. We'll risk anything for sense gratification. And misguided. We want to become misguided. Even in the science of Krishna consciousness, we see that we're told that there's the four regulative principles. And still we try to get around that by approaching someone else to get some misguided information. Now, how can I get around this? What can I do to, you know, what could I do to get around it so I don't have to do this? Misguided. We want to become misguided. We're looking forward to it. We don't want to hear from the authorized process. We want to somehow be able to see how we can get around it. So we don't approach the real authority. This is the symptom of Kali Yuga. And what to speak of unlucky. I know Sir Das has given many classes on this thing about being unlucky. In Kali Yuga, we're extremely unlucky. We hear about it, we read about it almost every day, how unlucky someone is. And in fact, they've written books about it, why bad things happen to good people. And this is like, you read this and you hear about it, you go, oh my God, how unfortunate, how unlucky. And this is a symptom of Kali Yuga, very unlucky. And the symptom that is above everything, though, in Kali Yuga, is that we're always disturbed, always. So why are we disturbed? We're disturbed in Kali Yuga more than any other age is because of our attachment and attraction to the body. That is the reason. This is the disturbance that we have. Why is that? Because of the attraction. This is the symptom of us living in Kali Yuga. This is our misfortune because of our deep attraction for this material body. And because we're by nature pleasure seeking, because we're parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, our nature is to have pleasure, to enjoy. This we want to do without any restriction. So we are attached to this body. Our nature is such that we want enjoyment. So we do everything we can in order to enjoy with this body. And not caring for the consequences. Not caring for the repercussions that our desires may create. And from that we suffer. But we can't, because of our attraction, we're so attached to the body, we just can't understand it, why we're suffering. We don't want to understand. We want to become misguided. We want to go to someone that tells us, no, enjoy like anything. Don't worry about the consequences. But then when the consequences come, we just lament. And we're so unhappy and so distressed that sometimes people even want to kill themselves. They want to shoot themselves in the head to get over the misery, the suffering. I was listening to one lecture by Prabhupada where he said that the devotees were telling him, he made some comment, that the devotees were telling him that some person had some illness, tuberculosis, TB. And he went to the doctor and the doctor said, you must give up sex life, otherwise you'll die. You'll die sooner. You won't be able to live. So the devotees told Prabhupada, and he's mentioning this, that the person went home and killed himself. He shot his brains out because he couldn't believe it. He could not understand. He could not believe. He felt that there was nothing left in his life if he couldn't have this enjoyment. So this is the sad condition of the living entity. And we see that no one is freed from it. We're reading here these celestial beings. They're not freed from it. And those that are the acharyas, the great saintly persons, they describe to us that this enjoyment that we're experiencing in the material world is simply a shadow attachment. It's a shadow. It's not the real. It's a shadow. Like if you're walking, you know, you've seen your shadow. If you see a shadow, that means that there's something really real there. There is something real. So the shadow is from something that's really there. So we're attracted to the shadow attachment. Just like if you, you've seen this so many times, you can go by some department store and they can have a mannequin there. Anyone know what a mannequin is? Yeah, you know, it's like a statue that they dress up nicely. You know, if you go to a store, they have a mannequin. And it's actually pretty good looking. They make sure that the features of the face are very nice. And you see the mannequin and dress very beautifully. New tie, dress, whatever. But we're not attracted to that. It's not like you're attracted to a mannequin. But because you know it's not real. When I say not real, you know that what I mean. It's not permanent. It's not something you can speak to. It's not really real in that sense. It's real because it's got material qualities. But it's not real. So we're not attracted to that. So the Shastras say that we as living entities, we're attracted to the shadow enjoyments of this material body. And it's not real because it's temporary. And from this unreal desire is so much distress, so much anxiety from this shadow attraction. And we're experiencing this suffering. So this is why the living entity is called Bhadajivan, Bhadajiva. Bhadajiva means entrapped. We're entrapped. We're entrapped within this body. We're entrapped within this Kali Yuga. And we're entrapped by this desire. Yan maitunadi grihamedi sukam hi tucham. Grihamedi, entrapped by this desire. And we're trying to get out of it. We're trying our best. But there's no material solution to this entrapment. There's no material. You may have sex desire, and you may say, well, let me get married to get rid of this sex desire. Well, hello. All we can say is hello. This is not going to happen. We cannot get out of this attraction by that activity. It is a crutch. It can help you. It can help someone to continue on the path. But if we become griyamedi, if we become entrapped by this desire, then we see that the suffering is unlimited. And this is going on within all universes, as we're reading here. Papa may not have said that they're entrapped, but they are entrapped. They're in a heavenly planet, and they're enjoying like anything, but they're entrapped. And just see how the level of enjoyment is there. But then one day, the lady finds herself pregnant. And boom, that's the sign. I have 1 year to live, and then I'm dead. Wow, that's like terrifying. Just think, that has to be terrifying. And we see that in Kali Yuga, same thing, except we see that this pregnancy is there. It also creates a lot of problems. We see in Kali Yuga, everyone wants to be independent and they want to enjoy. But we see, what is the independence or the enjoyment? Their so-called sex life, if the lady becomes pregnant, then what? So much responsibility, so much stress and anxiety. And, you know, she may be thinking, oh, I'm independent, I'm, you know, happy, this and that. But then the next thing you know, the father, he just disappears. He's nowhere to be found. And the mother's left with the child, raising alone. What stress, what anxiety, and so-called five-minute pleasure, okay, maybe 10, 15, 20, whatever. But what is the result? So much stress and anxiety. And we see that we're still attached to it. Even the birth process of a child, it creates so much pain for the mother. But still, again, want to become pregnant. And some women have 9 children. Can you imagine the pain and suffering that they go through in order to accomplish that? We see. So we're completely engrossed in this desire for sense gratification. And the Shastras, Prabhupada gives the example of like an animal in the desert. The animal in the desert, and it sees a mirage, water. The animal knows that there's water. It's tasted water. So in the desert, the animal gets caught in the desert, and it's there, and it sees a mirage, and it's running after that mirage, running, until one day it just drops dead. So we see in the material world, we're like that animal in the desert. We've tasted a little bit of enjoyment. Something we've tasted. Some of you and or us have experienced sex. And from that we see there's a little taste. And what does it make us do? It makes us run. It motivates us. It keeps us captivated in this material world and on this bodily platform of life. It motivates us. As we just heard that Prabhupada gave the story of a person who was told, you cannot do this any longer. And he killed himself. He committed suicide. Because he felt, there's no existence beyond this. There's nothing for me. My life is finished. So he had no motivation to live. And even as devotees, we're also tested in this way. Our motivation is tested. What is my purpose in Krishna consciousness? What's going to be my motivation to go on in the science of Krishna consciousness? It's a very, very a big crossroads. It's a crossroads with one's life in future in Krishna consciousness. So we see that those that are karmis, those are fruitive workers, they're running like anything for this enjoyment. Like anything. at high speed, at the risk of their life, they're running for this. And the gyanis know that there's something real. They see the shadow. They see the karmis running, trying to do this and do that. And the gyani sits back and looks at all this. He said, this is terrible. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to run around all over the place. I mean, I know that there's something really good there, but I'm not going to try to go after it like they are. I'm just going to sit back and try to understand this. But still, they cannot come to the conclusion. They still don't know where's the water. Where is that water? They don't know. Although they know that there's a shadow, that they know that from that it brings there's real water. But they don't know where to look. They don't know where to go. Whereas we see that the bhakta, the devotee of the Lord, they know what water is. They're tasting water. And so the Krishna conscious movement is not meant to take away our enjoyment. It's not meant for that. It's meant to help us understand that there's internal, eternal enjoyment. That there's enjoyment forever. Not just this temporary shadow enjoyment that we have experienced somewhat in this material world. But we should know that it's simply a shadow. It's not real. Not real in the sense that it's not eternal. And the Krishna conscious movement is about eternal. What's that? Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya. This is the jnani. Frustrated by this material energy. Seeing all this going on. Completely disturbing to them. So it's false. So Krishna consciousness is that we have to understand the science, the execution. This is what's really important. We have to get out of this darkness. What is that? Tamasima Jyotir Gama. Don't stay in the darkness of this bodily platform of life. Let us get out and get into the light. This is a wonderful, Prabhupada quotes this a lot. Get out of the darkness. It's like if somebody's sleeping and you go and you turn on these lights and it's like 200 watt bulb. You know, what is the person that's sleeping doing? What are you doing? My God, you know what you did? I was sleeping and you turned on this 200 watt bulb in my face. And then, you know, the person could actually get up and get into a fist fight with you. So we see that this is what a devotee runs into. Those that are preaching the science of Krishna consciousness, they're saying someone, get out of the dark and get into the light. And the person becomes disturbed by that. They don't want to get out of the darkness. They want to be engrossed in this darkness of Kali Yuga, this bodily conception of life. They'll fight you for it. If sometimes we see even trying to preach to a devotee, let us get out and say, no, I won't. I'm not gonna. I'm independent. I know what I need to do. I know what I need to do. But really, what we need to do is get out of the darkness, the bodily platform of life. We need to actually come into the light. And into the light means Krishna consciousness. Just like if we're in a disease condition. If we have a disease, you go to a doctor. And the doctor prescribes medicine. And you must take that medicine till you're purified, till you're cleaned, till you're actually well, healthy. So sometimes a devotee may execute Krishna consciousness. Oh, I am chanting. You know, I am reading. I am, you know, this is not an artificial process. It's not by artificial means that we'll understand Krishna. It means that maybe your disease is greater. It may mean that you're so diseased, we need to go back and work harder. This is what it means. It's like if a person has, if cancer, you go to a doctor, they put chemotherapy. Now, some people may, according to the degree of their cancer, they have to take a certain formula for chemotherapy. They need to have more intense radiation or less, depending on the degree of the cancer. It's not all the same. So in the same way, Krishna consciousness is like that. We may say, well, I'm following, I'm doing everything, I'm still not getting a taste. Well, maybe we need to even work harder. Maybe we need to do more devotional service, not less. It's not like if you're not getting a taste, you say, God, I think I'm working too hard. You know, I'm not getting a taste in Krishna consciousness, so let me work less. Let me do less devotional service. Let me take my schedule and downsize it so I can have more time to read and chant. Right. Jai. Reading and chanting is there, but service, this is the most important thing. This is why we chant the holy name. When we chant Hare Krishna, we say, Krishna, engage me. This is the process. We're praying, you know, engage me. And we're thinking, okay, I'll engage me all morning long, 2 hours. Engage me. Then after that, can I decrease my engagement? We're praying, engage me. But then later on we say, I think I'm too engaged. Let me drop my engagement. You know, so we sometimes, according to our disease, everyone is different. We're all different. Some of us may be more diseased. And if we're not experiencing that Krishna consciousness, then maybe we need to work harder in Krishna consciousness. Chant better. Rise early. Chant. Be scrutinizing in your thoughts. Manage our time. Read. Engage in service. Become expert in our service. Not that you just take it and be laissez-faire. Become expert in the execution of your devotional service. Become so expert that when we see you doing artik, we're mesmerized by your ability to twirl the incense. It's so beautiful, we become hypnotized by the way that you're offering the incense to the deity. Oh my God, look at that. Or when we cook with such love that when someone tastes one morsel of that prasadam, that we go, oh my God, now this is Krishna consciousness. So why not become expert in anything that we do? Why not make that the goal? And then we'll see what comes of that. Then one will experience what will come of that desire. And we see that in order to understand this, we have to go to a self-realized soul. The Acharya. We say, Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Umilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Srila Prabhupada opened our eyes. We are in the darkest of the darkest regions of material energy. And by the association of a pure devotee of the Lord, he awoke us. He brought us out of the dark and brought us into the light. And this is essential for the advancement. Without it, it's impossible. We need to have that structure. Like if you're sick and don't go to the doctor, how can you become well again? How is that possible? And if you go to the doctor and don't follow the prescription, well, what a waste. Like some of us have given our lives to Krishna consciousness. Isn't it a waste if we don't follow the instruction of the guru? Just think. I've been here 36 years. After 36 years, if I decide, well, I'm not going to follow the instruction, what a waste. I mean, in the sense of the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal. What a waste. Why? Why do this now? And we should simply submit ourselves. You know, sometimes you hear about a married couple. They renew their vows to each other, and they go before a minister or whatever, and I love you, so they renew their vows in their marriage, in their relationship. Why don't we renew our vows to the spiritual master, to the acharya, to Krishna consciousness? Maybe that's a good idea. To renew ourselves and take up the mission again. of giving people Krishna consciousness. This is the real purpose of this movement, to give people an opportunity to get out of the darkness. This is why book distribution is so important, and Harinam Sankirtan. They don't realize that if they chant Hare Krishna with sincerity and they execute the process faithfully, not artificially, faithfully, that sex life will just disappear. It will disappear. And Jamunacharya was a famous example, a great king, ruler of the world. He could have anything he wanted, any kind of sense gratification. But when he took up Krishna consciousness, he lost that desire. He lost the desire completely. And this is what is in store for us. And don't be fearful. Krishna says, don't be scared. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Prityaja Mamikam Saranambraja. He says, abandon all this, this darkness. And if we surrender to Him, He'll protect us. And don't fear. Don't be afraid. It's not the end of the world. It's like, you can understand that point about the Karmi who killed himself. Because he couldn't have enough. So same thing with us in Krishna consciousness. You know that if you execute Krishna consciousness, you're killing your desire for sense gratification, for sex. And that's kind of scary, isn't it? If we're honest with ourselves, we'll say that's scary. You mean if I really execute faithfully this science, that I'm going to lose my desire to have sex? Holy Toledo. My God, can I do it? We all, if we're honest with ourselves, we'll say, this is very scary. But we don't even have to think like that. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us this opportunity in a very blissful way. He just said, chant Hare Krishna, dance, be happy, take prasadam, engage in service. And just let it go its course. And you'll see that you'll be so happy in executing this activity that you don't have to meditate on that. And yes, it's a little bit scary, but don't think about it. Sometimes you just don't think about things. As they say, don't worry about it. Don't think about it. So we have to take this science up sincerely. This is what the point is, in order to give up these desires for sense gratification. And what is a guru? What is a guru? A guru is one who holds on the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is a guru. If you meet one and say, well, if they're a guru, well, what kind of guru are you? Oh, you're God, I'm God, everybody God. You go, what? It's not a guru. The guru is one who holds on to the instruction of Krishna. This is guru. And then that guru gives that instruction to a disciple. This is real guru. One who holds on to that instruction. So Prabhupada told us when he was on this planet, we should become guru. He would like to have his disciples become guru. So what does that mean? That we should hold on to the instruction of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna and then give that instruction to whoever we meet. Whoever we can, we should give that instruction to them. And it's essential for us to do this. This is what Krishna wants. This is what the Acharyas want. This is what Srila Prabhupada wanted. And this is the mission of Krishna consciousness. Then all these things, they become insignificant. Yes, they're there, and they'll always be there, but they'll become insignificant. It's like they say, if a person has $1 million, all of the $1 problems are gone, aren't they? If you have $1 million, do you worry about a dollar problem? You might not even worry about a $100 problem. You may not even worry about a few $1,000 problem. If somebody says, oh, I got a problem, and you know, $5,000, you go, what? $5,000? Ah, it's nothing. So if we take up Krishna consciousness sincerely, these desires for sense gratification will become, you know, maybe $500 problems. But they'll be satisfied, be finished. So let us not become attracted by these so-called heavenly pleasures. Let us become attracted to the science of Krishna consciousness so we can give up these minor distractions of material life. Okay, jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Right, Hari Bol.
My club. I'm sorry.